I'm Stan Bush, and it's your time to listen to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to All Things Transformers, version 2.0, episode 39. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is...
Dave Joe Mike.
And Pecan Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
I was about to say that.
It was a little slower than usual.
Usually it comes right in there. But,
all that wine has really slowed you down tonight.
It is. It's wine night, and I've already been through three bottles, so I'm a little slow tonight. But if I have a brain fart, it's completely justified.
Yeah. It's going. We just have to get through this episode, then I'll be super stoked for everything else we have planned here in ATTF episodes 40 through 50.
Just got to get through the chafe.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to compare. I know we're not, because the way we're going to do this, people, is we're going to talk about Transformers Robots in Disguise in one section, and then we're going to talk about the entire Unicron trilogy in a second section. I honestly tried going in with an open mind. I've seen bits and pieces of the Unicron trilogy, but I've never actually... It's kind of like, you catch half of an end of an episode at like 6 o'clock in the morning when Cartoon Network used to air these damn things. And I've never really seen them all up until this point. And even now, Armada is easily, in my opinion, the best one out of all four cartoons we're going to talk about today. The rest, it just kills me. As far as what else I've been up to, podcasting as usual. We just had an interview done with Brian Ward from Shout Factory talking about the Transformers Animated Complete Series DVD set, which includes the never-before-released Season 3. Hallelujah. Other than that, just... podcasting, doing stuff for GCRN, loving the new site design, all that good stuff.
Cool. How about Steve?
Yep.
How you
doing, Steve? I've recently published the new site, so that's one thing. Still working on some behind-the-scenes stuff, working on my house. Laughing my ass off at memes in the background. Some of them because of how stupid they are.
Okay.
They'll be on the site.
You're going to have to send links, because if they're that funny, then yeah. I need to see them.
I don't know if it's because of tiredness or if it's because... I don't know. There's a bunch. But no, as far as... we're covering RID first.
Yeah.
I know Mike Blanchard doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't care.
Yeah,
care.
It
He doesn't give a rat's ass.
I always liked Rid, and for years I was the guy who said, "You guys got to watch Rid because it's really cool." And you know, it's a different animal in the sense that like TFA was a different animal. It's separate from the it's kind of like separate but included sort of in the different continuities. Mm. You can't watch Rid and go, "Oh wait, you know, this is nothing like G1." Just like you can't watch TFA and go, "Oh wait, you know, what are they doing? This is all." I mean, not because the characters are hugely different, you know, because you have the same characters, but the writing it's just so, it's like silly Japanese kids show writing, and then you take that and you transmogrify it in the English, and you end up with a singing Beast Wars shark that recites haikus in battle.
God,
I used to
Cyber Shark. Cyber
who's the,
Shark.
Who's the coolest shark in town? Skybite, that's me. Who would never let Megatron down? Skybite, that's me.
The only thing I ever, like, okay, I'll say this right now. I have to thank a listener of ours, Draconis. He actually sent me all four of these cartoons on DVD. Obviously, it's just a loan, so I could watch them for this episode. But I'm sorry, Draconis. I was only able to get up to episode 8 of this cartoon. After 8 episodes, I was ready to rip my eyeballs out.
It's like,
oh my god.
Was it the silliness?
It was.
Is it Cyburn chasing the little red Corvette? Or because I thought that was awesome.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up, but the lady that's always in the red cars.
She's
the best part about this entire cartoon for me. Out of all 8 episodes, everything that happens to her is the best part about this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide, and I know we'll talk about the Unicron trilogy later, but I'm trying to decide who is the worst character between the two. Sideburn is on one side of the scale, or Hotshot is on the other side of the scale.
You know, I honestly think
Armada Hotshot. Hotshot, you know,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And honestly, I think that both, I mean, honestly, if you take Sideburn and you kind of transpose him with, let's say, G1 Hot Rod, you know, you could make that switch. In fact, the second repaint of Sideburn was a red, you know, red version with flames.
Yeah.
And it works surprisingly well.
This Rid reminds me of if there was ever, and I don't know, because I don't really watch this cartoon series. I don't pay attention to the video games or the toys. Rid reminds me of if anyone has ever done a really, really bad season of Pokemon. Like, as soon as the three, the right, center, left laser dudes, Gas, Skunk, and whatever else, those three dudes, the first time they got blasted off, the first thing I thought of was, oh my god, it's Team Rocket for Transformers people.
Right, right.
It's like, oh my god. And to have three bots have right, center, and left, that has got to be the dumbest weapon I have ever heard of.
Yeah, these
to have a laser on your shoulder.
You know, like I said, it's silly slapstick fun to the point where these guys are actually the Three Stooges. And the episode where they dress up as Autobots.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me Decepticons dressed up in Autobot cosplay isn't the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's very, very silly, and it stays silly up until the Decepticons make a return. So you start off with Autobots versus Predacons, and you basically have Beast Wars repaints. You know, then you get Bruticus, and for me, you know, it's 1999, and you haven't seen Bruticus on TV since 1986 at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it's like, oh, wow, they are re-releasing this this toy that I lusted over when I was 10, you know? I mean, I wanted a Bruticus so bad, now I will have it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it eventually comes to America in 4 different colors. I now own so many Bruticuses, it's not even funny. Bruticai. Bruticus. I'm not sure what other people call it, but yeah, I've got a lot of those now. But I was really excited for this show. I was excited for it when it was Japanese. And then when it came to America, I was really excited for it when it came to America.
I think on the voice acting side, now that I've heard...
Yeah.
Because I had heard Kaplan before a few times in a few... Like I said, I caught a few episodes when it originally aired.
Right.
But I wasn't really paying attention to it. So I heard him as Optimus Prime, and I'm like, ugh, that's somebody trying to be a GoBot version of Peter Cullen. Thank you.
That's not Gary Chalk. What the hell?
That's not David Kay. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Once I heard that, and then... I didn't even get up to the episodes where Omega Prime shows up, who was voiced by Daniel Riordan, or Riordan, or however he says his name. He's also the voice of Megatron Galvatron, and I'm like, really?
Really? I didn't realize that they gave a different voice to Omega Prime.
No, it's the same voice actor is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Omega Prime, Daniel Riordan, and Megatron and Galvatron, or Daniel Riordan.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was Neil Kaplan.
No, Omega Prime. No. Daniel's Megatron is all right. Yeah. It's not the best Megatron.
I didn't like it.
I hated it. After hearing Megatron as David Kay for so long, I couldn't stomach it.
Well, no, it wasn't just that. I mean, it wasn't just
He was too hokey when he was talking.
Yeah, exactly. I had that. I had a problem with it just not being a very good rendition. And granted, it was a sillier show. I guess the sillier Megatron voice might have worked a little bit. But at the same time, they were really trying to push the fact that Megatron was still the Emperor of Evil. Yeah, he was just surrounded by Predacon idiots.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing about this series, now that I'm looking at on the TF Wiki site, I had no idea... Because I didn't get to the episodes with Fort Max. Had no idea Fort Max or Darkscream was Steve Bloom. I can't even recognize his voice in Darkscream at all.
Oh, no. That was early stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how he disguised his real voice in that.
And I was going to say, like, you didn't get to the end where Brave Maximus makes his appearance. Because that was huge. I really thought I was going to get a Brave Max toy. I really did, and I never did. I mean, I really wanted one. I still don't have one, but now they're like $400, and I'll never get one. But
too expensive.
Yeah, I really wanted one.
Outside of the Megatron voice, Steve, what were your other impressions of this show?
I thought it was weird that Prime had a chick living in his trailer.
Yeah, you didn't like Ty?
Not really.
Transformers AI?
It was almost like, you know, it was Prime's secret bondage partner in the...
Oh, my God!
He threw her in the trunk and electrocuted her. She gave him tips and...
Oh, my God.
They almost had a Thai toy back in the day. I saw models of it.
Give them ideas. They're doing Generations toys.
They did during the Kiss play.
Oh, my God.
No, there was no tie during Kiss Play.
Oh, technically there was one. It didn't come with Prime.
They looked very similar. There was a few that looked very similar to Ty.
I don't mind her. It's a little strange she lives in Optimus's trunk, but...
It wasn't his trailer.
She was back at the Ark. It was like...
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
The new version of the Ark, and Ty is a new version, or she is the descendant of Teletran 1. Are you flipping kidding me? How the hell is a computer going to have a child? Come on. Oh,
she's a newer version. That's what it comes to. Yeah.
Yeah, but the way that she explained her like the first episode when she met Koji,
yeah.
she said that she was a descendant of Teletran 1.
I'll buy that.
How the hell is a computer? No.
Sure, I'll buy that. I think, though, when you look at it, how many female characters were in this show?
12. I'm just joking.
No, no, there weren't. There weren't.
One, two.
Besides the girl in the red car.
I'm just counting them on. I'm just counting the humans.
Oh.
One, two, three.
There's actually six humans.
Three humans. Okay, well. But there's, yes, there's six humans. I'm counting
three,
the girls.
Three
thank
female,
you.
Three male.
Yes. So.
I mean, yeah, they're not represented at all here. So if they got to throw in a girl AI, you know, I'll buy that.
I don't have a problem with it being a girl AI at all. I like Ty from what I saw of her. And I just find it really weird that the way she explained herself is that she came out of Teletran 1's loins.
Well, she's a hologram. That's for one.
Yeah.
She maintains the Global Space Bridge Network.
Came out of the loins. Yeah. All right.
It's Shades of the Beast Unleashed all over again, people.
I mean, I was a little quicker back then, right? Yeah, you just threw me right into a brick wall that time. I was like, okay. Sure.
Yeah. When I first saw this, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, and then, you know, they have Megatron stealing Koji's dad, and honestly, while I didn't disapprove of the designs, I didn't quite like the the humans were a little bit too anime for me.
Yeah,
compared to the Armada or the Unicron trilogy. I really hated some of the. This show was very very Transformers anime.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the Unicron trilogy, which was
right.
still kind of anime, but it was more so dubbed, and then some of it started getting more CG as it went along, so it started getting away from that
right.
Kind of style. But I mean, I thought Megatron with six modes was pretty badass, but
that's kind of cool. The giant hand mode. That
was giant hand.
Yeah,
it's like the giant Nintendo hand that comes down and grabs its opponents. I will crush you with my bare hands.
I mean, if you've ever played with an Omega Prime, that's a sturdy toy.
Well, I mean, the funny thing was my brother had both the Ultra Magnus and Optimus Prime for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he put them together, and it was a pretty badass toy.
Ultra Magnus kind of sucked as a toy. I mean, I didn't like him all that much, but that fire truck. I mean, granted, he was a parts former, but he was a really cool parts former.
Well, and it was kind of neat because in this instance, Magnus kicked Prime's ass quite a bit.
Yeah, he's like his little brother, just kind of smacked him around a little bit.
Yeah, and he kind of disliked Prime.
Yeah.
Because they gave the Matrix to Prime and not him.
It was an interesting story. It was an interesting plot line. It's just like, you know, I don't see why you got the Matrix, because clearly I'm better and stronger and faster, and you know, he just wasn't a very nice guy. He wasn't a good leader. And he proved it. You know, he proved exactly why Prime had the Matrix. But when they finally merged and combined, it was like, oh, okay, well that's cool. Now my big problem is they had to merge and combine because there was no other way to defeat their enemies. It's like either we both die or we combine. And he's like, all right, fine, jerk. You know, I'll do it. But yeah, once they do combine, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. All the animation models in this show are just way too... What happened to Transformers being, you know, sleek, sexy imports or something like that? You know, it's like...
Well, to be fair... Some of the designs in this show for the robots were a hell of a lot better than anything we got in the Unicron trilogy. because I mean, some of the Unicron trilogy was good as far as graphically, aesthetically pleasing as far as the robots are concerned, but these were a lot smoother and a lot more stylized compared to later on, where a lot of them were the Transformer
mode
bricks.
The robot mode? Because, in my opinion, you know, the vehicles for Robots in Disguise are some of the best we've ever had. I mean, these were based on real vehicles.
Well, yeah, and that's what made them great compared to the Unicron trilogy, like I said, because those just, the toys were just bricks.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, a lot of the toys were, you know, and it was kind of the difference. You go back into G1 and you say, okay, you're 1984, 1985, a lot of those vehicles looked like real vehicles. You have a Fair Lady Z, or, you know, you've got a Lamborghini, and they look like in real life. And then by 1987, it's quote-unquote Cybertronian race car. You know, it's like, what the hell is that? I have no idea what that is. And they're all made out of cheap plastic. And, you know, the downside with Robots in Disguise is that, although, and this is an ongoing concern from then until now, is that although they looked really, really good in vehicle mode, their robot mode maybe suffered a little bit because you have kibble. And kibble is basically huge parts of cars that hang off your robot mode body. So if you look at X-Bron, he's got this huge forearm that is literally an engine block, you know, and his legs are kind of big because the whole ass end of an SUV becomes his legs. And Sideburn has a hood hanging off of one arm, which, you know, yeah, it could be a shield, maybe, you know, and then he's got a huge front bumper hanging off the other shoulder. And it's like, really? I mean, you know, in the G1 days, it all kind of, you know, those were bricks. They had no posability at all, and they really sucked. But as far as, they didn't suck. They were fantastic. But, I mean, they sucked in the sense that you couldn't do much with them. You know, you could raise their arms up and down, and that was about it. But as far as kibble went, the kibble consisted of, you know, the door wings. And those are iconic, so they can get away with those. But here we've got these figures that are really poseable. They have a ridiculous amount of poseability, but engine blocks for arms. You know, so there's a bit of a downside. But probably some of my favorite Transformer designs. In fact, you know, there was a design transition when they went into the Unicron trilogy that they said, okay, we're not going to sacrifice robot mode, you know, for vehicle mode. So things got a lot less, you know, identical to real world vehicles. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'll buy that, sure. You know, but yeah, going back, these are some of the better vehicle modes that we've had. Even since then, with the exception, okay, this is sad. I'm going to go back to alternators. With the exception of alternators, these guys were like tiny alternators with lots of kibble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
We didn't see that coming.
No.
All right, quit reading the wiki. Give me your opinion.
I really think all as they did with RID is they took G1 Sixshot and made him Megatron.
I'll buy that. I liked Sixshot. He was badass. But I don't know what they did. I mean, that was a really cool a really cool like Sixformer. But then when he upgrades in the Galvatron, he becomes a 10 changer.
Yeah, that's true.
I, you know, honestly, I never took Galvatron out of the box. And I never I had just no interest in trying to get this toy in the 10 different modes. And Galvatron, I think I got him into 3 modes total. Or, I'm sorry, Megatron. I maybe transformed him into 3 modes and was like, yeah, he's going to look good on my shelf. I just didn't see as much play value as what this figure promised.
Mm. Yeah, the toys for a lot of these.
It didn't help it that he wasn't a very good character on the show either.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
I'm just not into Optimus Prime as a fire truck.
Really?
It's not this version, anyway.
All right, see, now, a lot of people are like, no, it has to be a semi-truck. And that's all well and good, but, I mean, we've all seen different iterations of Prime that are maybe not a semi-truck, but still pretty cool. You know, TFA being one of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was a huge fire truck in TFA, but he also looked a little bit like the semi at the same time. But this is a straight-up, full-on red fire truck. I mean...
Yeah, he looks awesome. My one caveat with this figure is the fact that he's got a robot head sitting on the cab. And granted, it looks like, you know, if you bend the ears, the antennas down, they might look like hoses. But regardless, there's a big robot head, you know, sitting right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's I just can't get past half this crap. I just can't. It's just. Yeah.
I mean, I think the toy line was a nice combination of new stuff like the Carr Brothers and old stuff. Like they brought back the GoBot line, which was really surprising because not only did they bring back the GoBots, which really aren't very good toys, but they gave each one of them their own personal episode on the cartoon. And it's like, I don't think these individual characters, you know, these toys who aren't really even good toys deserve entire episodes. They had a lot of G2 repaints, and they had Machine Wars repaints, which, you know, I'm not sure how many people even knew what Machine Wars was at the time.
The funny thing about Rid here is that this whole time I've been looking at a certain voice actor for this show.
Yeah.
I cannot believe Carlos is voiced by Captain and the Game Master, Matt Hill himself.
Really?
Yep.
Cool. Like, Carlos, what?
That's Armada.
I was about to say, that's Armada.
I'm skipping ahead, yeah.
Yeah. I always thought Carlos was like the guy from Pokemon.
No. Maybe his character is like that, but no. Very similar,
yeah.
No. Yeah. And I think the guy from Pokemon is a girl. Honestly, I think Ash Ketchum is Veronica Taylor.
It was, yeah. In fact, it's funny. I just met Veronica Taylor at C2E2. And, yeah, it was funny because I thought for some reason that Veronica Taylor was like Ash's mom. And I was like, you know, I've actually never seen that episode with Ash's mom. And she's like, oh, no, I played Ash. And I was like, whoa! You know?
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, Nancy Cartwright coming up to some 10-year-old cowabunga man.
Cowabunga man, know, it's... yeah. Well, it's funny because she actually did the voice. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I'm going to go way off topic here real quick just for a second, but if you go to C2E2, the 2014 website, they have a recap video. And
you're on it?
And I'm on it. About a minute in, I'm standing right next to Veronica Taylor.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and me and my boys are right there next to her, and they pulled us out of line and said, hey, do you guys want to do a quick video of Veronica Taylor? And we went, sure, why not, you know? So, yeah, we just stood there for 5 minutes waiting for her to wrap up, and then she came over and did a quick video with us, and I just stood there and smiled. Like, my nephew was dressed up as Ash.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so he was just like, you know, he had a total fanboy moment. She did the Ash voice and he froze. It was funny, and I had to pull him out. And I'm like, yeah, you know, hey buddy, what do you think about Veronica Taylor? And he's like, ah, yeah. And I said, you know, now you know how I felt when we met Tara Strong last year. I had a total fanboy moment. It froze up a little bit, but yeah. Anyway, moving right along.
Rid the, I don't know, I think, Gigatron looks, oh, well, Gigatron is basically Megatron, but on the wiki it says Gigatron.
No, Gigatron was the Japanese version, or the Japanese name for Megatron.
Okay. Yeah, I like that toy, and yeah, those six modes look crazy as hell to be able to get him into those.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them actually looks like the Batman Beyond Batmobile.
Yeah, no, he's got some cool modes. And again, when he turns into Galvatron, they paint it white, and they give him more modes. And he's got this funky, like, elephant mode. It's like, it's like, well, that's kind of cool. I don't think I'm ever going to get him in that mode, but it's still kind of neat that he can do it. Mm-hmm. But my favorite was, like, the hand mode and the dragon mode and the robot mode. I thought those were cool.
Yeah.
If you go back a little bit to, like, Beast Wars Neo, I think it was Neo, the Galvatron toy was a purple dragon.
Yes.
So I can kind of – I mean, I've got that one packed away somewhere. But I can kind of see how a Japanese fan would see the transition here.
Yep.
And go, oh, I see. We have Predacons, and here's our Predacon Megatron, who was a purple dragon, and now he's a purple dragon with six modes. So, I mean, if I were a Japanese fan, I could see how that would be exciting.
Yeah, I still can't get behind Red. I just can't get behind the cartoon itself. The toys I'm indifferent to, because by the time these toys were out, I wasn't even collecting. I wasn't even into toys anymore. I was too busy being a young adult.
Well, I don't think you got back into it until a couple years later. I mean, several years later when TFA came out.
It was right around 2006, the bug kind of hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I really get into it late 2007, early 2008. So, yeah, probably right around TFA.
Okay.
Oh, Steve, you've been awfully quiet over there.
I liked when they introduced Scourge into this, which is Laser Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
So you have the Predacons, the Decepticons, and the Autobots.
Yeah.
That's
a cool toy.
Yeah, I liked that toy a lot. Because I was like, it's evil Optimus Prime fighting everyone.
Yeah, and now every time you get a new Optimus Prime, you get a black and teal version of that Optimus Prime.
Who is Nemesis Prime?
Well, you know, it's weird. Nemesis Prime didn't come out for a couple more years. I want it, not for Armada. I want to say for Cybertron. But when he came out, he was brown and gray. The actual Nemesis Prime was brown and gray. But yeah, Scourge. When I think of a black and teal Optimus, I think of Scourge.
Well, right, because that's what all the black and teal Optimuses are based on now. Is even though they call it Nemesis Prime,
yeah,
you know that classics version of him,
yeah,
that, you know, that's Nemesis.
We just call it the Japanese black repaint.
Yeah. Is that it for Red?
I think I'd be rid of it.
Yes. So we'll be rid of that part of the franchise and take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Hi, my name's Rad, and I want to tell you about the Transformers, mechanical beings from another world. There's the Autobots, the good guys, and the Decepticons. They're all fighting over a tiny race of robots called the Minicons, who crash-landed on Earth thousands of years ago, and they're scattered all over the planet. Transformers, robots in disguise.
Transformers, Energon. Transformers. Our worlds are in danger. To save them and the galaxy, we must find the four cyber planet keys before the Decepticons can use them for evil. It is our mission. Hotshot, Jetfire, Vector Prime, Landmine, Scattershot, Optimus Prime, Transform and Roll Out.
All right, now that we've gotten rid of Red, we can get rid of the Unicron Trilogy.
Unicorn Trilogy.
It would almost be better if it was a Unicorn Trilogy.
It would be better with unicorns, exactly.
Yes.
This is the My Little Pony crossover that Mikhail always wanted, you know.
Yes, yes. Honestly, general thoughts from me, Armada is the best one out of the three as far as the voice acting goes.
Well, no, I know, to be fair, not a lot changes between the three shows as far as voice actors.
Right. But it was compared, you know, going from watching Rid to this, it's so much better.
What Rid is much better, or this
no,
was much better?
No, this Armada is so much better. Going from Rid to Armada, the voice acting in Armada is so much better because you actually have people that know what they're doing with character voices.
Right. I'll buy that. You know, and we have a lot of recurring character, returning characters from you know, Beast Wars, voices that we. You know, we
know and love.
We know and love, exactly. you know, the question becomes, would you have enjoyed R.I.D. more if they had brought back, like, David Kaye and Gary Chalk and gave them the lead roles?
Probably not.
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. I kind of get the impression with Rid that it snuck up on us. And they said, oh, you know, because I want to say that was the... about that time when Hasbro was leaning more toward what was the name of that series that never became
Transtech.
Yeah, I think they were leaning more toward Transtech, which most likely would have been David Kaye and Gary Chalk and Ian Michael Corlett.
Ian James Corlett.
I'm sorry. Ian James. Sorry, Ian.
Stop confusing Michael Ian Black with Ian James Corlett.
Actually, I was thinking Kevin Michael Richardson.
Ah, okay. Well, that's... wow.
Those
okay.
really long names all have Michael in the middle. It's a tribute to me, you know. Ian James Corlett as a return, you know, coming back. On the dinosaur train! That's what I remember him from now. Tickets, everyone! Anyway, but getting back to Armada, I really liked Armada mainly before. Well, no. Yeah, I liked it because of the minicons. I have a thing for minicons. I kind of liken it to Pokemon. You know, it's the gotta catch 'em all Transformers. Mm-hmm. And I had to catch 'em all. I really liked it. I have a lot of Japanese ones because in Japan, they released special paint. You know, they would have repaints of Minicon teams that you couldn't get here. And some of them were just horrible, horrible. I mean, they were like Cosmos colored, or, you know, and it reminded me of like G2 Dayglow. You know, like, wow, why would they paint toys this color, you know? But they were really hard to find. And you had to scour eBay to get the Japanese repaints.
Yep.
Yeah, but I really like those.
I mean, the cartoon series was interesting. It probably has... I think out of all the moments that I've seen out of Armada, the one moment that really kind of took the cake for me that I thought was bad is the very beginning of the show. When the Minicons become the kids... extreme sports rides, the bicycle, the scooter, and the skateboard.
Yeah.
When the three Minicons become the bicycle, the scooter, and the skateboard, and then they are floating on water.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I took a screen grab of that. I'll probably put it in the post before it's published or something, but like, I can understand G1 Optimus, you know, and the Autobots in G1 using hydrofoils. That's, you know,
yeah,
that's acceptable, but this thing makes these kids look like they're friggin' Jesus, for crap's sake, floating, you know, walking on water, riding an extreme sports vehicle on water. Oh my God, that doesn't take away from my overall enjoyment of Armada. It was a much better put together story than Rid ever could have been. The sad thing is it goes downhill after Armada.
You know, I that wouldn't have bothered me as much because it's like we have Transformers that transform into, you know, people-sized vehicles that you can ride around on. Now, I feel sorry for the other minicons who, you know, it's like, I'm a tank. I'm powerful and incredible, and I transform into a literally 6-foot-tall robot that stands next to Carlos. You know, Carlos is like, "Can I ride in you?" It's like, "No, I'm sorry. I turn into an RC car." Yeah, I'm like Michael Bay wheelie. That's about how big I am when I turn into a tank. Dude, that's gotta suck to be you. But the thing I liked about Armada. And this is going to sound bad because a minute ago I was disparaging the combinations of Optimus Prime during RID. But Optimus Prime, you know, he turned into, I want to say like a base. He had like an entire military base as a trailer. Yep. And then the base could attack bad guys. And then he could combine with the base. And then it's like, if that's not good enough, well, then he's going to combine with Jetfire. And now he's like Jetfire Prime. And if that's not good enough, well, then I've got, oh, I don't remember the name of it. There was an Ultra Magnus repaint, but it was called, what was the name of the trailer? I want to say God Bomber, but that was in Japan. It was, oh, come on, the big red trailer, help me.
The big red trailer and Convoy?
And Armada.
Armada.
Overload.
Overload, okay.
Yeah. Overload, yeah, okay. So then he's like, well, I'm going to combine with Overload now. And, you know, all, you know, when they're all lined up, you've got, you know, a semi-truck with a trailer, and then on top of the trailer is a space shuttle. I mean, in vehicle mode, it's epic. And then you can combine them all, and... You know, I get them all combined, and they're so big that I can't fit them on my shelf. This is like a 2-foot-tall shelf. He's bigger than that. And then you've got minicons that combine into swords, and they, you know, it's like he's got a sword in each hand. This is the most epic of all Transformers.
I don't know. You know, the Unicron trilogy really isn't. It just isn't my Transformers. There are certain things I don't like about Armada, but like I said, the story was a lot better. I like the fact that it's strange and kind of uncomfortable to see Gary and David in, like, truck, not monkey.
Well, and yeah. You also have, you know, Scott McNeil and Doug Parker and Colin Murdoch. Joining them as well from the Beast era.
Yep.
I had a really good cast.
Yes, it did.
And before we get too far into it, one of the best Transformer video games that had ever come out at that point.
Yes, that was the best Transformers video game up till that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Before High Moon Studios took over.
Absolutely. Right.
We haven't had one good besides that, other than that.
But that was a fantastic game. I specifically got a PlayStation to play that game.
I bought it for other reasons, but I bought that game because I had a PlayStation 2, and I played the shit out of it. I love the fact that powered up Prime with Jetfire could fly into Unicron and blow him up at the end. And you could attack Megatron on a mountain or on a volcano.
Yeah.
Does Megatron's hand grab you and fly away with you?
No.
Oh, come on.
That's funny.
Nope, not this one. But it was funny because Megatron in this one, instead of being all dark and brooding, he would sound like this when he's talking to you. here and now, Optimus Prime.
He had to get the mouth flaps in there. You had to match up the mouth flaps.
Well, and it was all devoid of emotion, which, you know, it would be as with, you know, robots like that. But it was funny listening to the difference between dark and brooding Megatron, who's talking about the Oracle. And then you go to Megatron attacking Optimus Prime and the Minicons. Just completely different tone. It was hilarious listening to Megatron sound like that.
I think one of my favorite moments was when they introduced Scavenger, and he's like this Clint Eastwood character with a huge poncho. And you got to think, he's probably a 60-foot-tall robot. and he's got the 60-foot tall poncho
wrapped around him. Oh my god.
Yeah, you know, it's like the good, the bad, and the scavenger. You know,
he's got too much crap in his pants.
And then he kind of does the thing where he throws the poncho off and he goes, "Aha! I'm Devastator!" And I'm like, "Dude, it's Devastator!" But no, it's not Devastator.
There's only one Devastator, and he is green and purple, damn it.
Well, Scavenger is a big green and purple. What the hell is he? He's more of a bulldozer slash. He's got one of those crusher things on the back.
The Claw of Doom.
No, it's not a claw. It's like one of those road flatteners. He makes steam a cool roller. Construction. Oh yeah, he's a kind of a steamroller slash bulldozer. He makes a really cool construction vehicle, and the toy's a kind of a brick, but he's got this mechanism where. When you push him forward, his feet move up and down, so it looks like he's walking, and it makes a sound like his heavy footsteps. I mean, it's.
I will
cool
say
toy.
That the Dreamwave comic was infinitely better than the cartoon.
I never read that. I'm not sure.
When Dreamwave was coming out with all their comics, I collected everything. I had the Dreamwave comic, which led into Energon before it got canceled, before Dreamwave went belly up.
Yeah.
Because, as I recall, the G1 made it through, I think, like two or three miniseries and went to like issue 12 before finally croaking. And then the Armada went through part of the TV show, and then it kind of delved onto its own, and they introduced like Unicron and Galvatron and... some of the other characters, and then they went into Energon, and it got kind of interesting. And
well, that would have been confusing at that point.
The graphics were a hell of a lot better. Plus, they had like dimensional jumping between characters.
Well, that leading. and I want to say the Minicons had voices.
They did,
which they didn't in the cartoon.
Yeah, they actually talked. They actually had a segment called Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
In Armada, in the comic, where they had a portal that opened up, and Galvatron, like G1 Galvatron, comes ripping through.
Yeah.
Along with four lieutenants, Thunderwing, Dirge, Bludgeon, and Scourge.
Yeah, I want to say Bludgeon showed up. Yeah,
and
after that,
vaguely. He tells them to go about their tasks, and soon that soon this reality will be consumed, and then that's how they introduced Unicron into it.
Yeah, they were like the four horsemen.
Basically, and so they had to figure out a way to defeat them. But it was kind of neat seeing that kind of take place through the comic instead of through the TV show.
Yeah.
Even though I think it would have been cool as hell having, "It is my destiny!" come back in the show and, you know, attacking the other Megatron, Galvatron, whatever. But yeah, the toys on this too were like huge bricks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they weren't as bad as what we would see in Cybertron, let alone Energon. But no, they weren't all that fantastic. They were kind of bricky. Yeah, and there were, I want to say there were some naming issues, like, you know, just like with Prime, you know, it's like, wait a minute, that's not Wheeljack. What the hell, you know, except. In Armada, they went one step further and actually created a Wheeljack toy with Wheeljack colors and named him, like, Downshift. It's like, wait a minute, that's not Wheeljack. And then, oh, that's Wheeljack. Nope, that's Downshift. It's like, bastards. Why would you do that? They did have, in the toy line, they had repaints and remolds of Beast Wars. Line they had like an Air Razor that was painted like gray and red, and they retooled it so that there were Minicon ports. They all had a similar color scheme, this gray and red, and they were, I want to say, I don't think they actually came out and called them the Heralds of Unicron, but I think they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that they were.
And that was aside from the comic book. But I mean, that was a nice way to tie in the earlier series. But no, I really liked the toys. I mean, that was... Well, I don't want to say. I got back into the toys with the Robots in Disguise, but I accepted Armada with, you know, huge open arms, and I was at BotCon to see all the new announcements for all these, and way back in the day, and it was just an exciting time to be a Transformers fan. And then you get into, I want to say I was at BotCon when they announced Cybertron. And, you know, I think that one had a good welcome. But I want to say Energon was the one where people started to fall off the wagon a little bit. Like,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Like, what? Why would they introduce that? That makes absolutely no sense. It was when they started getting into things started looking a little more Power Ranger-ish, you know, with Energon. We'll get into that in a moment, I guess, but we'll get more into that in a second.
The funny thing is, throughout the entire Unicron trilogy, every time I see Optimus,
yeah,
I keep seeing shades of Power Master Optimus.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it was Cybertron is the one where his chest looks, in robot mode, looks more like the Power Master than anything else.
I don't know. I mean, I've got a Power Master over here, and I don't think he looks all that much. I really like the Armada one, but he didn't look much like that.
I guess I should rephrase the not Power Master when he's big and bulky, the cab. When the cab is transformed.
Yeah. Oh, Cybertron okay. Prime, no, yeah.
And his windows yeah. look like that.
I know yeah. what you're talking about now. No, I think, yeah, I'll buy that. I want to say more like the Energon Prime or the one that we call Fatimus Prime. Because, if you don't put him into the combined mode, then he's just like a chest with tiny arms and legs sticking off him. He doesn't look very good. Mm. But no, hey, that one kind of does. But the Cybertron Optimus is, you know, he's kind of like, in my mind, Cybertron Optimus is kind of like if you take Robots in Disguise, you take that fire truck, right? And you say, I don't really care if this doesn't look like a real fire truck. I'm not gonna sacrifice robot mode for vehicle authenticity, you know. And then they say we're gonna push really hard to give this guy a really cool robot mode, and then he'll kind of look like a fire truck in the end, you know. And they nail it. They just nail it so hard. He looks really cool. He's just a really cool look now, especially when he's, you know, all powered up. He's got the trailer on his back. That's just a cool looking figure. In fact, I mean, as far as the toys go, the Cybertron line, I don't want to say the Cybertron line was, you know, better than Armada, but, you know, the story, well, the power key gimmick wasn't all that great, but there was a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. The power key gimmick was...
I didn't like the power key gimmick as much as I liked the Minicon gimmick. I mean, Minicon, yeah. you had a full Transformer. I mean, it was granted a MicroMaster, you know, but it fit onto your guy and it lets you push a button. I mean, it was literally like a key that you push into ignition. And it made something happen. And here they basically skimped out on having a MicroMaster and just said, I'm going to plug this chunk of plastic into your ass. And that's going to trigger something. And, I mean, yeah, that's kind of cool. But, you know, they even showed later on in some retools that you could replace that key with a MicroMaster port or a Minicon port, let's say. and yeah. and have the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was a cost-cutting measure where they said, yeah, just, you know, we had to skimp too much with these toys. We had to skimp on posability, or we had to skimp on, you know, other paint because we had to include a whole other figure.
Yeah.
Whereas if we skip that other figure, and then we can do all sorts of neat things. And, you know, that may or may not have been the case. I mean, granted, if you take some of the figures like you take Scourge or the Beast King, the Beast Convoy, you know, he's got some really cool posability. And you look at Vector Prime. He's got some really cool posability. He's kind of neat. He's a cool character. But, you know, again, you're missing out on that minicon.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I just... The only time I really knew came across Cyber Keys is actually Shattered Glass, the first and only Shattered Glass that matters, 2008. Because I think the Gold Bug model had Shattered Glass, because or not Chab, the Gold Bug Shattered Glass toy had a Cyber Key. Because you put the Cyber Key in his butt and wings pop out.
Okay.
It's like giving him Red Bull up his ass.
Yeah.
It gives you wings.
It gives you wings. Now, my favorite part of the Cybertron line was the story itself. Because it seemed to me this was the first time that they tried to consolidate all of the different continuities. I mean, they say, okay, well, we're here on Earth, and we have Earth modes that look like cars and helicopters and stuff. But now we're going to go into the Speed Planet. And the Speed Planet has the, you know, quote unquote Cybertronian race car modes that you know, it's a car, but it doesn't look like a real car. It's like we started off with on Earth with G1, year one, year two, and then we get into, you know, 87, 88, we have Cybertronian cars. And they're paying homage to that on the Speed Planet. And then they say, oh, wait a minute, now we got to go to the Beast World. And we meet the Beast Convoy, or a Scourge, you know, and we meet... I'm trying to remember the names. Some of the other guys, I don't remember their names offhand. But, you know, you've got the Tiger guy, and you've got the giant Gecko guy, and stuff like that. And then later on, and they try to tie in some of the Beast Wars toys. But you've got a Beast Planet with the oh, Criminy, what was his name? The Tiger guy.
Tiger Claw, Tiger Hawk.
No.
Razor Claw.
Might have been Razor Claw. They actually have a black repaint of him.
In Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Razor Claw.
Razor Claw. Okay, so yeah, Razor Claw. So you're introduced to these characters who are.
I was Scourge.
Who are beast modes, you know, yeah, you get these beast mode guys. And then you have a whole nother planet for Giant Planet. And then you end up with a Metroplex, who's just the worst Metroplex ever. But
and Menasor.
And Menasor. They had Menasor?
Yes. Menasor. On the Decepticon end.
I'm looking on my shelf like, where's Menasor? I don't see him.
He was there.
But yeah,
so it looks like a giant tidal wave.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, no, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. Okay.
He was voiced by Sam Vincent in the show.
Cool. Wikipedia is your friend.
Yes, it is. The Ultra 2006. He's blue and gray. He looks like a super deformed version of the jump starters is what he looks like in this image.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look into that. Maybe I didn't even take him out of the box. There's a lot of these characters from this series that I didn't even know if I wanted to collect these, especially around Energon, where it was like, God, these are all crap, you know, and I didn't even know if I wanted to buy them, and I picked up a buttload of them. On clearance at like KB before they went out of business. It was pretty sad back then. But I want to say like the Cybertronian defense guys I really liked those. So you had like Scattershot and Hotshot, you know, where they upgraded themselves for Cybertronian defense. Those are some really Red Alert had a Cybertronian defense mode. Some really, really cool toys. I mean, really nicely posable, armed to the teeth. And not only are they armed to the teeth, they have like huge missile racks on them, and then you plug a cyber key in there, and the missile racks all pop open, and more missiles come out. I can imagine, you know, being a little kid and playing with these and just be like, I'm just gonna blow everything all to hell. Watch me now. But I liked the fact that, you know, they're incorporating all these different continuities, and they're not going back and saying, oh, this is the Beast Wars world, you know, and here's Optimus Primal. And well, actually they did. They went back and put Optimus Primal on the Beast Wars world in as a figure anyway. But yeah. I mean, they didn't try to do that in the cartoon. But it was cool that they said, okay, now there's all these different types of Transformers, and we're going to all tie them in together. And the ending was very satisfying. It was just I really liked that cartoon. You know, maybe I would say maybe not as much as I liked Armada, but I still liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it. And it wasn't until, you know, we get into Energon that I really started hating Transformers.
Well, the good thing is it was Armada, Energon, then Cybertron, so you probably were into it.
Oh, no.
You were probably into it during Armada, fell out of it during Energon, and then got back into it with Cybertron.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. You know what? Scratch everything I said for the last hour then, because I was going I must have been getting them all mixed up. This is how much I hate Cybertron. Cybertron was the one with the Energon. The Energon chip. Oh, no. Wait.
No, it was Energon had the Energon chips.
It was Armada, and then
Armada
Cybertron.
Had the mini
Energon had the Energon chips, and Cybertron had the Cyberplanet keys.
Had the keys, yeah, and the four planets. See, I was right. Yeah, no, I totally had it right. And Energon was the last in the series. That's what I said. It wasn't until Energon, isn't that what I said, that I really started disliking it?
Yep.
Yeah, but it says on the wiki that the Cybertron series is preceded by Energon. So it goes Armada, Energon, and then Cybertron. Cybertron is the final.
No, Energon is the final one.
No, Energon's actually the second chapter.
I'm looking at the wiki right now.
They came out in order.
Yep.
Holy cow. Okay, so what happened where Energon was so horrible and then it got better with Cybertron? That doesn't make any sense.
Because it continued the storyline through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they kept encountering Unicron, which is what kept throwing the damn series off.
Well, that's what I'm confused about, because there was no... I want to say that there was no Unicron in Cybertron.
No, they had a big-ass black hole.
Yeah, it was the big-ass black hole.
But they also had... the galaxy threatening to fold in on itself.
I'm looking at the cartoon article right now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Support of the toy line, the same name. It is a direct sequel to Armada and forms the second part of the Unicron trilogy. Cybertron, airing 2005-2006, serving as the third and final part of the Unicron trilogy.
Oh, wow.
Cybertron was last.
All right, well, then I'm completely wrong in my assumption, then. Oh... Yeah, it's late.
This is what happens when you drink too
much wine.
And
I had a lot of wine. I know. I somehow lost 2 years of my life. Or at least one season of Transformers. Yeah.
Honestly, with Energon and Cybertron, I cannot get past Kicker. I just, like, the first episode of Energon.
Was Kicker in Cybertron?
Energon.
Yeah.
And
he was an Energon. I don't remember.
He started as an Energon. He was kind of a footnote in Cybertron.
Oh, right. He was a footnote in Cybertron, but
now that I've actually got the order right, now I can put them in perspective. Because yeah, that
in Energon, the very first episode, he starts off like this Billy Badass. This is my planet. You're not from here. You're giant robots. I hate you. I was living on Cybertron, and it was the god-awfulest thing ever.
Somebody should have stepped on him.
I wish.
Should have stepped on him.
I wish. You know, and people always bitch and complain about Sari Sumdac being the most... the worst Transformers human ever. No. Kicker is the worst Transformers human ever.
So I'm confused now. In my diatribe here, I've gone from Armada, which is pretty cool, to Cybertron, which is pretty cool. But these are bookends to Energon, which I completely skipped. Probably because I didn't like it. I mean, it was really, really bad. It was so bad, in fact, that I still think there are some in Energon that I did not buy because either A, they were short packed and impossible to find, or B, just because they were crap. I mean, this is the toy line that gave us Ironhide, whose head is visible in vehicle mode.
That's because it was like that in the show when it was stupid in the show.
Oh my god.
I'm sure it was stupid in the toy. Well, no,
in the show his head might have popped up once or twice to look around, you know, but it was
in the very first episode, his head was up the entire time. Kicker jumped on him and kicked his Kicker kicked his head. It's like, look over there.
It was bad.
Oh, well, and the funny thing is Energon had the kids from Armada show back up.
Yep.
Well, and that
all the characters have natural evolutions of their character from Armada, but because Megatron died at the end of Armada, he came back, albeit through his Energon sword that Scorponok extracted from his carcass, more or less, and he stabbed Megatron because there was a faint life in him, and it, you know, sucked in, and Megatron came back and kicked Scorponok's ass and took over Unicron. And the Terracons, but that was about the only worthwhile episode in that whole damn series.
No, there wasn't any worthwhile episodes in
that
series.
That was the only episode that was worth it, because you got to watch Megatron come back from the dead and kick ass for that episode, and then after that it sucked. But
it was just all very confusing. And I want to say this was the episode where, or not the episode, but this was a series where they had the Terracons who were harvesting Energon to bring Unicron back to life.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, because it was just, I don't know. I'm already ashamed of myself for forgetting where this is in the entire series. Like, wait a minute, isn't this the last one? Because no, it was the second one. Now I will say that what I did like about the toy line from Energon was that this is where we actually get Scramble City type combiners.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we got a Devastator.
Toys.
Yeah, we got a Superion. We got a Bruticus, and they weren't great. You know, they weren't as good as what they could have been. And there's a lot of third party add-ons for these that actually give them decent hands and decent feet. But again, this is the first time we actually got real live combiners.
Since G1.
Well, yeah, literally since G1. Mm. You know, or Scramble City type. They did have that Bruticus re-release for RID, but I mean, these are brand new molds. These are new guys, and I want to say there's been several repaints of those since then. And I've got a couple of them. And the Transformers Collectors Club once a year gave a translucent red and blue version of one of the limbs from each of these guys.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they just gave it away as a convention exclusive, and I've never actually combined mine, but they are pretty sweet looking. But so I mean, I liked that. But other than that, there really wasn't much good that came out of this line.
Well, the only thing you had on Energon was you had two robots of the same sex having sex with each other.
Ugh. What? What? What are we talking about?
Explain.
Well, I'm just saying you have a top and you have a bottom Transformer.
Oh, the Power Link?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think that's...
I wasn't meaning it like as derogatory as it came out. I was saying it like it's the whole
It's a male part and a female part that plug together. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. The sad thing is, Michael, the only thing I can think of after Steve said that was the beak from Across the Second Dimension, where Baljeet was the top half and Irving was the bottom half. And Baljeet's like, has anyone seen my legs? You turn to Irving, Wolverines!
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, it's funny.
Phineas and Ferb. It's all right.
I was almost figuring that, but...
So, you know what's weird, though? It's like the whole... I want to say the whole gimmick here for on the Autobot side for... Mm-hmm. Energon was the fact that they could power link. So you've got deluxe size figures that you could turn into a vehicle and could turn into a robot, but could also turn into a torso or a pair of pants. And then any deluxe size Autobot can then combine with any other deluxe size Autobot. So I mean, you could have a hotshot in pants mode, and you could have a second hotshot in shoulders mode and put them together and make it one big hot shot. If you were so inclined. And what's... sorry.
Well, I like my combiners when they have, like, you know, five robots.
Right.
And yeah, I'm not exactly talking about the shit-tastic Optimus Prime, like where Scramble he City combines with his five different trailer pieces.
Yeah, no, that was awful.
That was terrible.
Oh, man, is that awful. And to add insult to injury, then, well, I'll get to that in a second. But so you've got these deluxe level power link guys, and again, you know, I talked about in Robots in Disguise or later on in Armada, where you've got a robot mode that may suffer a little bit because his vehicle mode is so good, you know, or you have a vehicle mode that may suffer a little bit because his robot mode is pretty good. But here, every mode suffers because there's four modes to every guy. There's a vehicle, which looks like ass. There's a robot, which, you know, may look all right, or it may not, depending on what its shoulders mode. I mean, shoulder mode may look pretty good on this guy, but his pants mode looks like ass. And the other guy here, his legs look pretty sturdy. That looks good, but his shoulder mode looks like ass. And because of that, you know, because he has such a nice pants mode, his regular robot mode doesn't look good because he's all weird and misshapen. And all of the deluxe guys had this problem. And to a lesser extent, the Voyager, like Ironhide and Jetfire. I want to say those were the only two Voyagers. But they didn't look bad in robot mode. Or vehicle. I mean, their vehicle mode was all right, with the exception of his head sticking out. And he had this huge, or Ironhide had this huge, I want to say it's like light spotlights and a speaker or something on his shoulder. It just looked like crap. It didn't need to be there. In fact, if you busted it off, he'd look better. But I mean, when you combine them together, they look pretty good. It's like, this looks nice. But I never took advantage of that. I don't have any of my guys combined. I didn't bother to power
them at all. And that's funny, because you love your combiners as well as your minicons.
But I don't consider power linking as combining. You know, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way any of them looked combined. And granted, if I went ahead and combined a lot of these, I'd probably save a lot of room on my shelf.
Yeah, you probably would, actually.
You know what I did like is the Scout class guys. Because they're small, they had pretty good robot modes, and they all had like cool looking weapons. And this is the first time we got an RC. So we got a little pink motorcycle with a crossbow, which is like iconic now, right? I mean, a lot of different series have an RC now, but this was the first one we'd ever gotten. And she looks kind of cool. And then we've got, you know, some other small guys that can't even remember their names, but a lot of the Terracons, and some of the Terracon repaints, a lot of those guys, you know, I liked those. But I mean, I just wasn't as enamored with them, let's say, as I was with like the minicons or some of the earlier stuff. But nothing that really jumped out at me. And I want to say, wasn't this the first time that we actually got a A Grimlock? A real Grimlock? Was Energon the one that had the Grimlock and the Swoop combiner set?
Probably. But we've had real Grimlocks and Swoop before.
A G1 Grimlock?
You don't remember G1 Grimlock, Swoop, and the Dinobots?
Well, I do, but, like, what do you mean? You mean, like, actual dinosaurs?
Yeah, they were
painted in G1 colors? Or are we talking, I mean, this
No,
is...
I'm talking about the original G1 toys.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is this is the first time we had an actual Grimlock homage since...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Grimlock toy. In fact, right now, Toys R Us has a two-pack for Age of Extinction, where you've got the Bay Grimlock right next to a G1-looking Grimlock. Yeah. And that is actually a repaint of Energon Grimlock. I mean, it's not the best Grimlock toy, but it's not, you know...
You'd think they'd just repaint the Bay Grimlock, but whatever.
No, there'd be too much of a size discrepancy. It would be, because he's a good-sized toy. I mean, that he's not huge, but, I mean, he's not tiny. And this Grimlock here that came with this set is, he's smaller than Swoop.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, Swoop, he's... it's even hard to call him Swoop, but yeah, he's much bigger than Grimlock. And combined, they don't look awful, but they've kind of got that power link thing going on. Except they don't have individual pants modes. It's hard to describe, but yeah, it's kind of a different. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is that they actually brought back Grimlock and they brought back Shockwave, with the exception of calling him Shock Blast.
Yeah. It just doesn't have the same, you know, ring to it.
Not quite, but I mean, you know, he's got the single eye, he's got the gun arm. This one actually had, I want to say he had sound effects and such in the arm.
Yeah.
But and he had a repaint that wasn't nearly as cool. But I mean, hey, you know, kudos to them for bringing out Shock Blast. Or bringing back a Shockwave. He was actually in the show.
Mm-hmm. All right, so shall we give final thoughts on these four shows?
I don't know if I'm qualified to do so since I screwed up the order.
It's a crap.
It's a crap.
Maybe we should just leave it at that. Honestly, you know, no offense to the voice actors for the Unicron trilogy, David Kay and Gary Chalk. They did an amazing job as voice actors. And so did a lot of the other cast members, but for me, I will never, ever, ever watch these four cartoons ever again.
I just
don't think I can get through. I made it through the first eight episodes of RID,
yeah.
And then after that, I was like, oh my god, when's it gonna end?
There's like 26 episodes of that too.
Pretty 26, 39, something like that. I forget.
I don't remember. Yeah. But no, I look forward to watching these with my kids. Maybe not right now. Maybe when we're in a lull. You know, because right now we're still watching Rescue Bots.
Yeah.
And we're trying to catch up on Rescue Bots because I'm a few episodes behind. And I want to get through with those. But I really want them to watch RID before they get old enough to not enjoy it, which probably isn't that old. And
they're probably already too old now.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'll have them watch Armada.
Because
Armada was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Armada was a lot of fun. Yeah. It really was.
I think they would enjoy it. I'm kind of glad that I have a lock and key on my cabinets, though. Because I know once they start watching it, they're going to be staring through the glass going, ooh, look at that.
Yep.
I kind of want to play with that guy.
Yep.
And it's like, no. You will never play with that guy. That's why he's behind glass. What a terrible thing to say, but it's true. You're not playing with my toys. It's my toys. You get your own toys.
You are so Will Ferrell from the Lego Movie, dude.
That's right. Touch my toys. You're going to ruin them and decrease their collector's value. How dare you touch this box? The grease is from your fingers just destroyed value on my box.
Steve, final thoughts on these four Transformers cartoons?
I mean, I think mostly what hurts them is the fact that they're imported.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't hurt it for everyone because, you know, everybody's tastes are different, but...
There's a lot of people that like anime that are like, oh, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, and that's fine. I personally like the stuff that was originated here.
Mm.
Or at least the concept and the show property originated here. I know the animation hardly ever originates here, but...
Yeah,
right.
But
there's
yeah,
a difference
that's...
between recording the voices here and sending them to Korea versus, you know, getting the entire show and then trying to match the mouth flaps.
Yeah.
Yep.
That never works for anybody. That doesn't make anybody happy.
Nope, not at all.
Well, nobody here. At least doesn't make
no.
them happy.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this one.
Okay.
I think so, too.
It ends not with a bang, but with a whimper.
And we'll put a bang into it next time when we talk about Transformers Animated.
Ooh, I love the bang animated.
Oh, God. Steve, please close the show before he says anything else horrible.
Alrighty, then. Thank you for listening to All Things Transformers version 2.0. If you'd like to leave feedback for the show, there are many ways you can do so. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com.
Stop!
You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to leave the message for your show. Become a part of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. My Twitter name is @SCP21, and yours is?
EFJoneMike.
And mine's been the same for the last 6 or 7 years, Pecan Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm so tired. You can tell Steve's been practicing.
Join us next time. We'll be talking about Transformers Animated. And I kick your sorry ass.
Why the hell did you talk like that through the entire thing?
I'm not even sure what that is. Was that...
It's supposed to be a Transformers character Japanese voice or something.
I don't know. I just made it up.
I was like, is he trying to do a Transylvanian? Is it Igor? Is that the insult comic dog?
I'm not
sure
even
what
know
he's going
that
for
is.
Here. Yeah, it's like the Crypt Keeper. No, that's not it.
It's not the
somewhere. Crypt John Kassir is thinking that's not my guy. I wasn't really sure. It sounded cool. I think your pronunciation was a little bit off because I'm like, I'm thinking your Twitter handle is what? It's SCP-21. Like what? I need the Crypt Keeper to enunciate a little bit because I'm not quite sure what he's saying.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's for me to poop on. You know?
Are you wearing hockey pads?
How do you spell that? It's SC Phlegm.
It's SC.
I was trying to keep quiet, but I just couldn't. I had to start laughing because I was like, oh my god.
I was respecting the actor here. I am not going to mangle his voice acting or whatever. Whatever his voice, whatever that is.
I don't have a clue. I made it up.
We Decepticons now face our darkest hour.
Yes, that's right, Megatron, because we are announcing that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get to TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacock Michael, as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and so much more, all in the latest Transformers Review Podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. You can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Transform and roll out.
I gotta pull up these stupid links. Oh my god.
I'm not Zelda.
Yeah, this episode is probably gonna be mostly you guys, because
you watched all the episodes, didn't you?
I didn't watch. I've watched 15 total between the four cartoons.
Oh, wait a minute. We're gonna do all four?
We're going to do the Unicron trilogy as one segment and the RID thing as one segment.
In one podcast?
Yes. Yes. You did not realize this?
Oh, I thought we were doing a separate.
No, because if we did it four separate podcasts, it would bring ATTF up to 54 episodes. That's kind of lame to end on 54 episodes.
Oh, well, you're going to have to skip that fuck, I can't even think. What was the name of that one?
Armada.
No, it didn't even have a show. I was trying to be facetious. Machine Wars, yeah.
Yeah.
I was being facetious there, and then
Machine Wars, duh.
It's funny until I get a brain freeze in my drunken state. I don't remember what the hell the name of the show was.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. Past, RID, the characters suck.
You didn't like it?
The core characters suck. Like, Optimus sucks. Hotshot sucks. I like the bullet trains, and I like the spy changers.
Yeah.
After that,
I thought it was strange that the spy changers all had fully realized personalities. Like, these are the lamest toys in the whole world, and yet they get... I mean, these are GoBots, for Christ's sake, and yet they get fully realized personalities. They had entire episodes devoted to them.
Yep.
Each character.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm like, man, at least they could have done is give them a decent toy. Nice. Anyway, yeah, but I didn't prepare for the Unicron trilogy at all.
Oh, well. I mean, we can just click through links and whatever else.
There's links.
Armada.
I feel like I can look at them.
Stop it. Oh, God. Energy, yeah. Anyone that says animated is the worst cartoon in Transformers history, no, that would be Energon.
Oh,
thank
my
you
God.
Very much.
I couldn't even watch Energon. I had to stop watching Energon because it was so bad.
It was the first episode, and I was pissed. I'm like, oh my god, this Kicker kid is like,
You know, no. You remove Kicker altogether and just include robots, it still sucked. It was so bad. It was like...
The music was good, though. I liked the music.
I didn't think so. I didn't like the music. I didn't like any of it. I mean, and the dialogue was like, and now we do the thing that is the thing, and what? What is that? You know? And, I am Megatron, and now I will do the thing that is the thing. What, Megatron? Ah! You know, it's like, jeez. Okay, we can do better with the mouth flaps, you know? I mean, this is really epically bad English.
Absolutely.
Oh, it was awful. And it was so thoroughly Japanese. In the sense that it's like I can't possibly defeat Megatron on my own. Hugh, random guy, come power link with me, and they power link. And it's like, haha, I'm more powerful than Megatron now. Megatron's like, fuck you, now I'm Galvatron. Oh no, who will I power link with now? You know, and then it's just you can't work on your teamwork with your guys. You can't, you know, learn new tactics. You know, I must power link to become more powerful. All right. What are you going to power link with next with? Omega Supreme? I will now power link with Omega Supreme. I'm like, fuck this. You know? No, you
won't.
Wow,
this is gonna be this episode's gonna be a lot more fun than I thought it was gonna be, because I thought you were gonna be like more positive on a lot of this stuff, Michael. Like, hey, if he's on the negative train, if he's on the negative bullet train, that's awesome for me. I can go with negativity.
You know, it's terrible to say that because I'm one of the few guys that liked Armada. I really enjoyed Armada. I thought I really like Minicons. I'm on board with that. But no, the Energon cartoon, I can't get behind it. Cybertron, yeah, okay. I like power keys. That's cool. They're not as cool as Minicons, but okay, I can get behind that. I can get behind the whole multi-planet thing. I like that. That worked out pretty well. But no, Energon, cannot get behind Energon. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I can't do you it.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.